The Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin, this week called for an end to the chain of hatred and evil, which has led to unprecedented levels of violence on the streets of the city. His statement came after two gun murders involving criminal organisations, the latest in a series of killings. The Archbishop urged people not to be afraid to speak out against the sponsors of this violence and call them what they are, despicable and evil. Jesuit Father Peter McVerry runs the Peter McVerry Trust, an organisation he set up to reduce homelessness in Dublin and the harm caused by drug misuse and social disadvantage. He spoke to us about the seriousness of the situation and of how difficult it is to tackle.
Well, for us, the situation is very serious. There is a growing gangland violence, feuding between gangs, a lot of killings and a lot of serious assaults over drug debts that are owed to the ganglands. It is a serious and a growing problem. We're currently in the middle of probably the most serious feud we've ever seen between two criminal gangs. We've had six murders in the last couple of weeks and no sign of any resolution to this. Just seems it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
A lot of people are asking the same question. How do you tackle a situation like this?
It's extremely difficult to tackle. A lot of these people are not amenable to listening to any voices. They are involved in drug dealing. They are making a huge amount of money from drugs. And that is their one and only objective. They're not going to listen to anybody who tries to talk reason to them. I think the only way in which the drug gangs can and the violence can be reduced is through people giving evidence against these gangs. That is the one thing that they are paranoid and scared about, is that people will go forward, give evidence, which will convict them in the courts. However, that's asking an awful lot, because anybody who does that puts themselves and their families in serious danger of being killed. But it is the only thing that will destroy the criminal gangs. They use fear all the time, and they use the threat of violence all the time to prevent people talking to the guards, talking to the media, or drawing attention to the drug gangs in any sort of way.
What about the government? I mean, it's not just now this has been going on. This situation has been going on for a long time. So, I mean, what about a government response?
It's very difficult for the government to respond to this. You can't put policemen on every corner of every street. So you cannot rely on the police to solve this problem. It is extremely difficult for the government. What should have been done long ago is that the drug problem should have been taken far more seriously, and initiatives to help people with drug problems, such as treatment centres and residential centres and aftercare centres, they should have been put in place long ago to reduce the demand for drugs. So I think the government have ignored the drug problem for too long, and it has now escalated to this very, very, very serious point. So I think what the government have to do is they have to tackle the roots. The drug problem is focused on a number of very clearly defined areas of deprivation. It's where poverty and unemployment are clustered together in communities. That's where the whole drug issue is also clustered. And the government have got to address those problems of poverty and inequality if they are seriously going to address this problem. In the area where I live, you can order any drug of choice and it will be delivered to you quicker than a pizza, and it will be delivered by a 13-year-old kid on a bicycle. And that 13-year-old kid is already, that 13-year-old kid is going to be the big guys in 10 years' time who are going around murdering people for owing money or for personal feuds. They've got to ensure that 13-year-old kids growing up in these deprived areas have other opportunities available to them, because many of these kids see no opportunity. They don't think they're ever going to get a job or any sort of decent job. But by being part of the gang, they have money, they have lots of money, they have status within the community, they have power, because nobody will touch them, because if they do, they have to answer to the gang. So these 13-year-old kids have everything that many adults are working very hard to achieve. They have money, they have status, they have power. And for them, it's a no-brainer that getting involved in drugs and selling drugs is the path to the good life that they are aspiring to. So I think government has got to move into these areas of deprivation and reduce the levels of poverty, reduce the levels of unemployment, improve the education facilities, and give young people in those areas the alternative prospects of having a decent life outside the drug trade.
I mean, are there particular projects that are trying to break this culture? I mean, education would be, I imagine, fundamental.
Education is key, but also employment is key. Many of these kids, if they do stay in school, they'll say, what's the point in staying in school, because I'm not going to get a job anyway afterwards. So I think education and employment are both key. But I think what we are doing here is we are throwing the problem back onto the individual drug user. We're saying, look, the drug user has a problem and that's why they're using drugs, whereas we are not looking at the social and environmental context in which drug use and drug dealing has taken place. And that is looking at the whole community context, the context of poverty, of unemployment and deprivation within which drug use and drug dealing thrives. There's a huge failure to address that particular issue. And in order to avoid having to address that issue, governments tend to say, well, there's a problem with the drug user. They have some sort of problem, and that's why they are using drugs. And so the whole social and economic environment in which drug misuse thrives is largely ignored.
I mean, organisations like yours, I mean, you're dealing with people, socially disadvantaged, homeless people. You've seen it all, I imagine. Again, having your input, people getting together and saying, look, this is the situation on the ground, as it were.
You know, it's very, very difficult to get government to address the social and economic issues. There are many, many groups working in these deprived areas who keep highlighting the deprivation that exists and the deprivation which allows drug culture to develop. But governments aren't listening. In fact, it's going in the opposite direction. Local communities are no longer being listened to. Their views are no longer being taken seriously when decisions are made. Everything has become more centralized. And those local communities are being starved of funds as well to address the social and economic deprivation. So we're actually going in the opposite direction. And going in the opposite direction means that things are going to get much, much worse. I mean, 10 years ago, nobody in this country could have imagined the levels of violence that we're seeing in the last few weeks. And things are only going to get worse. The new drug dealers on the block are much younger. Some of them are heavily involved in taking drugs themselves. They are extremely volatile, and they are much more violent than the drug dealers of 10 or 15 years ago. So I think the future is going to get worse rather than better.
And in a sense, you're looking at a situation where, you know, you hear people saying, God, I wouldn't walk down that street at night. It's creating a fear in on the streets where people would have had no problem a few years ago. And now there's a culture of fear.
There is, in certain areas, there is a culture of fear, because we do have a huge number of serious drug users. We have an estimated 20,000 heroin users, most of them concentrated in the capital in Dublin. And every heroin user is going to commit at least two crimes a day to feed their heroin habit. You have an enormous number of crimes, of burglaries, of mobile phone snatches, thefts, robberies, enormous number of crimes being committed in order to feed a drug habit. And that does create a level of fear. We also have a large number of drug users who congregate in the city centre in Dublin, and they congregate in certain specific areas, and that creates a climate of fear for people who are passing by. They don't know whether it's safe to pass by, and they are quite frightened at seeing five or six of these people hanging around waiting for the drugs to come in to be bought, or just hanging around and actually sometimes using drugs quite openly in the city centre. So it does create an atmosphere of intimidation, I would say, more than fear. People do feel intimidated and people do want to avoid certain areas, yes. Well, the reality is that we cannot do much about the supply of drugs. We are a very open country, we have lots of coastline, lots of small little airports. Drugs are a fact of life now and are going to continue to be a fact of life right into the foreseeable future. And there's very, very little we can do about that. But we can do something about the demand for drugs. We 10 years ago, it was a recommendation of a drugs task force, National Drugs Task Force, that people should have access to treatment within 4 weeks of being assessed. Now, that has never, we've never ever come near that. People are on long waiting lists, sometimes for a year, before being able to access treatment. And in many parts of Ireland, there's simply no treatment facilities at all, and people are left with a drug problem and a consequent crime problem in order to feed their drug habits, simply because we don't have sufficient treatment facilities. If I was in power, that's the area I would invest heavily in, ensuring that everybody who has a drug problem and who wants to get treatment can get treatment at the time when they want it. I think that would reduce the level of drug use and reduce the level of associated crime considerably.